Welcome to the Indestructible Wealth Podcast. This is the place where we help young entrepreneurs and professionals to make, keep, and grow wealth that you can enjoy now and for years to come. I'm your host, Jack Gibson, a serial entrepreneur, founder of multiple seven and eight figure businesses, and wealth building strategist. Each week, I'm going to share my tips, resources, and secrets to help you create a plan and build the life you've dreamed of. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Indestructible Wealth. I have a special guest here today. He is a real estate guy. He's got an incredible real estate business that produces passive income. He's got, I'd say he's a serial entrepreneur like me. So let's get into it. Welcome to the show, Garrett Maroon. Pleasure to have you here, bud.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me, brother. Excited to talk about this. I love the name of the show, Indestructible Wealth.
Yeah,
I love that. And that's the goal.
I appreciate that. You know, and when I say indestructible wealth, you know, I got to keep reminding people there's no money that you can create that's indestructible, right? Like
right.
Something that could always right. happen and go south on you that it could take yep. it all away. So yep. for me, indestructible wealth is a mindset. It's saying if anything should happen where all my money gets taken away, I've got the mindset and the skills that I can recreate it and replenish it, right? That's
good.
That's what is really yeah. being indestructible.
I love that.
Me is. So
yeah, it's huge.
All right. We asked you if you had any hobbies and you said, no, I got three kids under five.
That's right. Yeah. We've got our fourth. That's literally going to be here probably in 2 weeks as we record this. So I don't have free time anymore, but that's okay. I love my kids. You know, but yeah, free time does not exist.
I was with a couple on my sales training. I went to Tennessee this past weekend, just got back last night, and they have a little 4-year-old boy. And he just reminded me of how much I love those ages and how they like hang on everything you say and want to be around mm-hmm. you. Now my kids, they're teenagers and they just ignore me all the time.
Yeah, right. That's right.
So you really just embrace it, brother. It's a great,
right.
it's a fun time. It's chaos, but man, it's great. Just goes by so fast.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And that's really, you know, to be honest, like the reason why I got hardcore into like this money journey a year ago was I came to the point where I just said, I will no longer accept not being able to spend as much time as I want with my kids, right? Like I refuse to miss the little years and because I know it's going to change. And so to me, that's what got me on this journey to say, well, how do I do that? Well, it can't be by just being the main, you know, if you don't have assets, you are the asset. And that means you got to keep working, right? So how do I make sure that I can turn the businesses that I have, the money that I have into assets that allow me to, you know, be where I want, when I want, with who I want? And that's going to be mostly with my kids. So, man, to be honest, that's like the passion for me of figuring this kind of stuff out and being willing to go get educated. You know, that's why I want to spend the time with them that I want to spend. And I'm not going to let it go by without being present as much as possible.
Don't you think there's a lot of, I mean, so many guys out there that's really not what's on their mind, you know, when it comes yeah. to making money. I feel like that's kind of the minority. And like, that's what my whole platform is built around is I want to help educate, you know, young men. Of course, like I'm speaking to the ladies too. And they, you know, it's not like I'm singling out just guys, but I mean, that's definitely my passion is to help them start now when they're young, even thinking about it before they have kids. So that when they do have a family that they've set themselves up to enjoy the fruits of their labor, enjoy their relationships and their kids and not always have to be go out chasing the next dollar. Like, do you see it pretty rare? Like people are thinking like that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I think that and I tell this story all the time. We've got a podcast called The Faithful Agent, but I talk about this all the time where I had to wake up and recognize that I would have said that my family was my priority when I became aware of what my real scoreboard was, right? In the real estate space, it was how big is my team, real estate team compared to everybody else and how much money am I making? Yeah. And that was what my scoreboard was. And until I recognized that and said, I don't want that to be my scoreboard. I sat down and I was doing some thinking time one day and I said, man, if I could make 200 grand a year on my real estate team, but take every Friday off, be with my family, do that versus make 500 grand a year, but work, you know, 50, 60 hours a week. week in a moment of clarity where I'm not just using the wrong scorecard, right? I would choose 200 all day, right? 200 is fine if that means I get to spend more time with my family. Now, you know, we thankfully have made more than that with the other things we're doing, but if I get to spend more time with my family, that was the clarity for me. I don't have to go chase some number or whatever that's going to look like, because I think for me, at least, I was using this goal of, well, once I get to 500, then I can slow down. Once I would get to 1 million, I could slow down. And at least what I've realized in myself and the people that I coach is at the end of the striving, there's just more striving. You know, we say that's the time where we chill and we relax, but no, we've created this habit of we just constantly strive for the next thing. And I think there's a danger for the entrepreneur who allows that to kind of dictate what their next moves are, because then we eventually realize, and unfortunately, I'm sure like you, we look back and we say, or I meet people that say, I did that, I fell in line with that, and I realized I traded my family time and I didn't mean to do that. And I didn't want to do that. And now I miss those relationships, right? I miss that they were young and I miss that season, whatever. I think there is forward thinking, but I don't think there's enough of a stop and evaluate what scoreboard are you using and where are you actually focusing your attention on. I think that's probably the biggest mistake or biggest struggle that I have had. And I see with other people too.
No, yeah, I'm guilty of that. When you said that, I'm like guilty as charged.
Yeah,
I mean, can speak all day long, right? That, oh, my priorities are God mm-hmm. and family, and then, you know, my mm-hmm. my work comes third or fourth. But when your actions don't line up with that, and you're working, you know, for example, I would get done with dinner and then I'd be right back to the office until 11 mm-hmm. at night, right? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. so then not anything to do with my family for the rest of the evening. And yeah. when I looked at that and was like, wow, like I'm saying one thing, but my actions are just not aligned with it. Mm,
that's right.
Because I'm chasing the wrong scoreboard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we all do it. I've done it until like a month ago, right? So this is like right. a new realization for me, that recognition. And that's what actually led me to with my real estate team to merge it with a buddy of mine who's got a team so it could become even more passive, right? I had to just kind of let go that I'm no longer going to have direct control over this thing as much as I did, but it's going to buy me back a significant amount of time, and that's worth it, right? That's I'm not saying there's a blanket statement for everything, but in that scenario, that was worth it for me, recognizing my scorecard is not how much money do I make and all those things. Those things are good, right? It's good to try to earn more money. That's a great thing. My scorecard was how often am I getting quantity and quality time with my kids, right? Are they getting to go out with daddy on a date once a month? Is my wife and I, are we going out, you know, during the day? We take a day date every other week. Are we getting that consistency? And if that means that I'm going to make a little bit less money, that's fine. What I've seen, ironically, and the people that I've talked to have done this, they actually end up making more money, right? Because then it forces us to be more efficient with the things that the dollar producing activities, I'm going to just do that. And I'm going to make sure somebody else does all the other things I was doing that really don't matter, right? I can earn more money in 30 hours a week than I was in 50 hours a week if I'm just thinking better than I was a year ago, right? You talked about your return on knowledge, indestructible is this mindset. Kiyosaki, right? Rich Dad Poor Dad talks about, it's not a return on your investment. It is a return on your knowledge. So the quickest way, in my opinion, to make money is to understand how money works and how to create passive income and what levers you can press and who do you need in your life to help you do those things. And man, once I started to recognize that and realize that, I really am convinced that I can work a lot less and make a lot more because it will force me to do the right things. And man, if we just do that over and over and over again, it is going to be indestructible, right? We might lose it, but it'll come back because we know how to do it. And so I think that's really where my mindset shift has been recently.
Yeah, I agree. I was just saying, you said last month, I'm like, I think I just came to that conclusion yesterday, maybe.
Yeah, that's great.
Just recently, very recently.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I look at too, like you're talking about the scorecard and, you know, now I'm looking at other things besides business success, making money as my scorecard. Maybe that's a sign I'm maturing. I don't know. God, mm-hmm. I hope so. But I was thinking like a scorecard win. This is a huge win this past year. Is that I have two teenage kids, 13, 15, right? And they want to hang out with me on a Friday or Saturday night. Like
that's
I just
awesome.
Took them to a movie, saw Air Saturday night.
Nice.
It was awesome. You know, this just being with the kids, and they actually, I never really wanted to hang out with my parents on a Friday or Saturday night. Mm. I gotta admit that. And so looking at other things just besides money, although money allows us to do those things a lot easier.
No doubt.
Right? So how did you get started in, what was your start in business, and take me back, how long ago you started into real estate, right? That was your first endeavor.
Yeah, that's right. So I started in real estate almost 9 years ago, right at about 9 years ago, started on a team. And then a year and a half later, went on my own in 2016, started my own team and just started building it from there. In 2019, launched a coaching and training company.
What market and are you serving on your real
estate? So I'm in like Southeast Virginia, like Virginia Beach area.
Oh, nice.
And so had gone on my own, started a training company. And then this year, a buddy and I launched an e-commerce brand as well. So we're just trying to, you know, the coaching and training company came out of a passion and a desire to serve people in that way. And so that's what I really love to do. And the real estate business is great. It taught me how to be an entrepreneur. The e-commerce business is an attempt to say, how do I pre-fund my passive income? And that is, I can commit, me and my buddy, we said we can commit 1 year to get this thing where it should be and then hand it off to an operator. And once we hand it to an operator, that thing can make a lot of passive income. So I'm kind of in that mindset of, I love business and I love to create. And if I can do that and then also provide a great job for somebody to operate that business, perfect. I'll pre-fund the passive income. I'm only 36 and, you know, relatively quickly be at a place where I can just spend the time with my family that I want to spend.
So, you know, when we think about a real estate business and you're selling what, Mark, single family residential?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Residential.
So you're selling houses, as you know, started as an agent, but yet now you've converted this into a passive income stream. When I think of being a realtor and having a team, I don't think of that as passive income. Right. Mm. But yet then I pause and I'm like, well, I've got that too. Like, I've got a real estate company, but I'm not out there actually doing the selling anymore. I mean, I started that way, but now I've put a team in place and, you know, made a couple hundred, two or 300 grand last year, from that company part-time. And I look at that as like, well, that's pretty much a passive income stream. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Weeks where I didn't work it at all. So tell me, how did you convert that into a real passive income stream?
Yeah, I think that's right. And yeah, when I talk about passive income, I mean, if it takes you less than 5 hours a week, you know, not everything is just literally passive, but that's 2 hours a week
of income, right?
That's right.
Like on a scale, and you look at like if you buy bonds, right? That's 100% passive income.
No doubt.
I mean, but you only get 3%.
Right. Good luck. Right. Yeah. Good luck making that into passive income. Sure.
Right. So if you really want to make some real passive income without having millions of dollars in capital to produce it, I'm with you. Business.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Build a business and then get out of it.
Or buy a business and then figure out how to get somebody else to run it that knows what they're
100%.
Doing.
Yeah. So for me, you know, in the real estate industry, as a real estate salesperson, there's so much talk about what they call the seventh level, right? You build all of these pieces, you add X amount of agents, you add admin, you build all these systems, and it gets bigger, bigger, bigger until finally you hire a CEO and you step out. And I was at a point where, again, kind of like the idea, I'm pretty stubborn, and sometimes it gets me in trouble, but sometimes it helps, right? Where I had said, I'm unwilling to miss the little years. And that's what got me on the financial journey. I have tried different versions of a real estate team, but at this point I had one agent and I had one admin, and I had a great agent on the team. So I brought him on because I got to the point where he said, I am no longer willing to keep running like this every day, right? I'm no longer willing to be the guy that has to be at the showings and the appointments and all those things. I'm just not willing to do that anymore. And so I'm going to find a way out. And it's very uncommon in my industry to see someone step out of production with one agent and one admin. Typically, they probably have at least 10 agents and 5 admin, you know, much bigger business. And I like simplicity. And so it wasn't some, you know, brilliant idea. It literally was, I just made a commitment that I'm going to stop selling. I'm going to step out of this And therefore, because I'm willing to step away, now I have all these deals that I'm producing, and that's an A+ opportunity for somebody. So therefore I can go find an A+ operator, an A+ agent, right? And I've said to, you know, my buddy, and said, man, I have a way for you to make an extra $200,000 a year. Are you interested? He said, absolutely I am, right? So great. Here's what I want you to do. You're going to come in, you're going to run my playbook. Here's our admin. She's amazing. And you're essentially going to run this team. I'm going to feed you the business. I'm going to still spend the hour a week lead generating. You and I are going to meet once a week for an hour. But after that, man, this is you. And I trust you to do it. And you're going to make an extra $200,000 doing. He said, great, get out of the way. Okay. Right. So it was just, you know, one of the struggles I think I see in business, especially in the real estate world, is agents will ask me, well, how did you find somebody as talented as your agent, Jesse? And I said, okay, well, tell me your structure. Well, I'm still the main agent, and I tell them they can come on the team, and I'll help them grow and X, Y, and Z. I've got admin to support, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, because when you offer a C+ opportunity, you're going to get a C+ talent, right? There's no A+ opportunity if you're still the person that is the leader of that team and running and getting all the deals and taking all the business, right? Because you haven't given a good enough opportunity for them. So why can't you get out? I remember specifically an agent called me who's doing a lot of business. He's been around for a long time. And he asked me straight up, Garrett, how in the world did you get out of production? So I said, well, tell me your structure. He said, well, I still do 40 transactions a year. I've got blah, 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 X, Y, and Z, all these agents, all this admin. And I said, well, no, his name's John. I said, no offense, John, there's your problem. Right? You haven't been willing to give away your own 40 transactions, which are a lot of money. And so all you can ever actually offer to an agent is maybe a B opportunity. So why are you not getting an A+ opportunity? Because A+ agents don't take B opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to step out of the way, hand that to somebody else, and that's how you get out. Right? Because now you've got the talent that can take your business without you being there. So I think for me, I was just really fortunate that I wanted to get out. And so I was willing just to say, I'm going to step out. And that opportunity brought me a really talented person.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack on that. So you're, man, you definitely had to give up quite a bit of money though, right? Like it's not an easy decision because you're capturing all this deal flow. If you're the guy, right? You're capturing both sides of the commission, the broker and the agent commission.
Yep, that's right.
Right. So now you're producing all this deal flow, and you probably worked super hard to do that. And now you kind of got to give a chunk of that up to bring somebody in that's going to capture a part of that, right? That's their compensation. That's right. And then that's what gives you your passive income. So like you making that decision, putting a line in the sand, I think that's where the money really happened. Like that's where the real success happened when you just said, I'm not living like this anymore. And
that's right.
I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to figure this out, how to make this work.
It's the indestructible piece. Sorry to jump in. It's what you talked about at the very beginning. Indestructible wealth it's the mindset. You know, you make a choice and then you go take action on that choice. And so you can't, I don't think anyone without having that conviction point, that conviction moment, is going to step away and say, oh, I'll just make less money because why not? You know, that's a stupid decision unless you have a real convictional piece of saying, nope, I'm getting out and I'm done with this and I'm going to move on. I'm going to find a way out, right? It forces you to solve that problem. And it is, like you said, everything's a mental game. Indestructible business, indestructible wealth, indestructible family, whatever it is. It's what are you thinking about on a day-to-day basis? And what are you feeding your mind, right? I mean, I am a huge advocate of when I stepped away from spending so much time in my real estate business, I believe I'll make more money because now I have more time to learn about how money works. And that's a much quicker way for me to earn more money than it is to scale a real estate team. And so I think when we just understand what are the ways we can move our mind forward, then we make different kinds of decisions. It wasn't by me running a team and bringing on a bunch of agents and doing X, Y, and Z that would make more money. It was now I spend time reading. I've read 28 books already. It's May 11th. And it's just the willingness to say, if I can outthink them, I don't have to outwork them. And so that's how I get my time back, right? Because I can outthink them now because I'm just constantly learning over and over and over again.
No, it's good. You're just being just that much more efficient with your time because
that's right.
You're taking the time to not do deals and just to grow your knowledge base and learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then 100%. That's going to make you more efficient when you make your decisions, and you're going to be able to make more money for the time that you do work.
Yep. 100%.
So you got this real estate business, took a step back from that and made it, turned it into a passive business. So now you, I'm assuming you got another chunk of time that you can deploy into something else. Where did you transfer mm-hmm. that time in? I mean, certainly you spent some time with your kids and your fam and you enjoyed it, right? Mm-hmm. But there had to be another chunk of time. You're like, I got to go out and do something else.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. Us entrepreneurs, we're not wired to just relax.
We can do it, but I think it's a short period of time, right?
That's right. Yeah. I get bored pretty quickly. But in that same vein, though, so what I've committed to myself is I take Fridays off and I won't work past 5. So I force myself into a position in a good way, a helpful way to say, however you're going to succeed, you got to make it happen in the short time. And like you said, it forces you to be efficient. And I'm really grateful for that. But so where I'm spending my time, honestly, right now, as I scale back, I mean, we've got our e-commerce business, we've got our coaching and training business, and I'm coaching people one-on-one as well, mostly on how to grow their real estate business so they can get out of production, right? Because that's that's what everybody wants and few unfortunately get to. I'm spending time writing a book now. I love to speak, I love to teach, I love to train. But the truth is, I also just have enjoyed a small season right now of a lack of chaos, of trying to run from one thing to the next thing and handle all of it and be exhausted for my family at the end of the day. And I've enjoyed that season. You know, we're about to have another baby. And so I enjoy that I've got the freedom to slow down a little bit and still have money coming in and give myself space to, which is really hard for me, but to give myself space to find clarity on what should be next, because that's difficult. Because as an entrepreneur, as an ambitious person, we don't tend to do well sitting still or sitting quiet. But I've been spending a lot of time doing reflection and understanding, 9 years of running full speed and then slowing down all of a sudden feels really strange. But taking that time to say, let me really try to make the right next decision. Instead of just jump, I have tons of ideas every day, as every entrepreneur does, right? Sure. You know, we've got a friend who we were talking about their birth story and how the nurses didn't feel like they were super educated. And so I said to my buddy, I said, man, we could probably start a coaching company to help nurses. He's like, dude, you know nothing about the nursing field at all. I'm like, yeah, but we probably could. You know, he's like, don't do that. That's a terrible idea. But like, you just have ideas constantly. And so I'm trying to give myself the space to figure out, now, what do I want to do? How do I want to go impact the world around me now? And what does that look like? And how am I uniquely skilled to make the biggest kind of impact? Because if I can figure that out, I think that's the way you make the most money in the least amount of time and the most impact in the least amount of time. And I think at the end of the day, most entrepreneurs, that's the scoreboard we want in work. How many people did I impact and how much money did I make from it? And so I'm trying to figure that out, quite honestly, taking that space to really learn and understand, how am I uniquely gifted to go help the people around me?
So you're saying that essentially passive income has allowed you to not rush into the next move. Like there's no, we don't have to force anything. We don't have to rush into it and make these decisions that we're going to, you know, maybe regret as an entrepreneur, like the typical entrepreneur that I am.
Right.
I think they say you're, you know, ready, fire, aim. I think it's for me, it's aim, fire, get ready. That's typically the sequence.
Right.
And, you know, it works out sometimes really well. And
it does.
Really costly on other times.
I agree. 100%.
So what's your other big sources of passive income? You got a couple others beyond the real estate team now that you build up? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the big ones, and I'll talk about a huge failure, which I didn't know was a failure till literally 2 days ago or yesterday. So one of them is I made a relatively big investment in a car wash fund through the Real Asset Investor. I've learned through a community I've been part of and a financial coach I have, the hierarchy of wealth is tier one is a better cash flow system. Tier two is things you can have direct control over, like a business and your knowledge. Tier three is assets, real assets that you invest in. And tier four is more of the speculative type invested. So crypto, those kinds of things. Mm. And when I realized that, or when he was teaching me about that, I realized that I haven't maximized tier two and tier three yet. And so I scaled back from that tier four speculative. And so now I'm just taking my attention and focus on, I want to invest in real assets. So the car wash fund was one. The second one, which we made a a large investment, $100K into CO2 scrubbers, which I was just telling you about. Basically, the idea is they capture the carbon dioxide right at the oil and gas field, saves those oil and gas companies a ridiculous amount of money. And so there's a great return on it. Well, did all the due diligence I normally would. Talked to people that were getting great returns on it already in X, Y, and Z. Well, literally yesterday found out that the SEC had filed a court order against these people because what they're claiming now, there's a court date next week, claiming now is that's a Ponzi scheme, which that is not fun. It's very possible we just lost 100K. That's terrible. And, you know, but to the point of what you talked about earlier, the indestructible mindset piece, man, I'm not going to lie that yesterday I wasn't sitting there just feeling violated and beat up, right? That is that really what just happened? They had raised $155 million, right? And so I feel for all of us who invested money into that. But if we lose 100K, like that sucks. That's not fun to do that. And I was pretty beat up yesterday, but I remember in my mind battling myself to say, but this doesn't mean that this is the wrong journey. It doesn't mean that all other sources of passive income are somehow not real and they're just scams. It doesn't mean that you can't keep learning and growing and continue to make better decisions, right? Because I felt beat down and I felt like I just don't want to do this anymore. This is hard to learn as it is. I'm taking, you know, educated risks with these large amounts of money, and I don't want to keep losing it. And maybe I just need to go be quote unquote safe again and put it somewhere that's easy and simple and blah, blah, blah. And it just came back to, I've been working on my mindset for pretty hardcore for a year with money. And I had to keep telling myself, this is not true. It's not true that everything's like this. It's not true that you should just give up. It's not true that you can't learn how to make good investments again. It's not true that you're going to make a bunch of bad decisions. That's not true. You probably will make some bad decisions, right? But that's not true. What is true is you get to learn and you get to keep going. And what popped in my head, and hopefully this will encourage, we had a on our podcast, we actually had a former poker, professional poker player. His name was Moore Zucker. She's out in Colorado. She's a real estate agent now. I asked her what was her mindset when she took really bad beats at the poker table? And she said, here was my mindset every single time. I knew that I was either going to get paid or I was going to get educated. Those are the only two options. I either got paid or I got educated. I didn't lose money. I didn't, none of that. No, I either got educated or I got paid. And so I keep thinking about it from that perspective too. You know, if we lose 100K, again, that was not my intention, right? That's not fun for that to be the case, but I'm either going to get paid or I'm going to get educated. So if I look at it the way she presented it, then I can look at any decision that I've made and it's one of those two. And typically the education is actually the most, ultimately the most lucrative piece of the things that we do. And so having that mindset and understanding that, okay, that's terrible and that's not at all what I wanted to happen, but I can utilize that experience and educate myself and be better the next time. And that will just be one of those seasons or experiences in my life that made me better, right? So I think that's the indestructible wealth piece that you're talking about.
Where would you say that CO2 scrubbers deal? Is that more of a level four, more of a speculative investment now that you kind of look back on it? Or
yeah, well, so no, I would have said that was a level three because it was an actual tangible asset that has... well, should have had very good tax benefits to it. I think honestly, the biggest difference for me would be that I would go try to physically show up in Texas and verify that they're out there working on the oil fields. You know, I have many friends who I trust deeply, who have been invested and done tons of their own research. And so I didn't want to go out to Texas and make that invest or before I made the investment, because I trusted these guys made a lot larger investments than I did and knew one of the operators of this investment syndication. I'm still trying to figure out what the difference would be, but no, that would have been a real asset. It's tangible. It gets really good tax benefits because of that. It was getting good returns, but turns out they're just using my money to give the other people a return, right? So no wonder it was a good return. So yeah, but I would have said it was a tier three. I pulled back from tier four for now and just trying to maximize the space and the time that I have with either business or an actual asset, like physical, tangible. Yeah.
What would you say your biggest lesson then that you learned from that whole deal? Reclassify it as a, should have been a level four, mm-hmm. you know, more mm-hmm. you know, risky type investment? Did it make you say, you know what, I got to go back and shore up levels 2 and 3 a little bit more aggressively with more, even maybe a little bit more conservative? Like, what was the education for you? Look,
yeah,
there's no judgment from me. I've lost $100,000 in a deal before. Mm-hmm. You know, similar deal, similar situation. It was turned out to be a Ponzi that just didn't make sense that it was a Ponzi. I couldn't see it. And I don't think if I, you know, unless I had the total benefit of hindsight, 2020 vision, right? Maybe I would be able to get out of it. But yeah, what happened for you?
And yeah, that's a great question that honestly, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, work through what that means. But to your point, I do think that my response would have been, I probably should have thought first, what would happen if I put $100,000 into my tier two, the businesses, the education, the things I have direct control over, what would have happened? And would I have a much better outcome because of that? And so that would have been my first question. I wasn't thinking what would happen if I invested $100,000 in that tier two. I just went to, oh, this is a great opportunity in a tier three that is going to give me, everything is speculative at the end of the day, right? I mean, technically, but that's going to give me really great returns, really great tax depreciation and tax advantage and all those things. I never ran it through the filter of, okay, do I need it in tier one? No. Do I need it in tier two? I never even asked those questions. So I think for me, that's probably the biggest lesson taken away of if I'm going to put that money somewhere, why not first see if I can deploy it something in something that I control? And then if I don't have anything there, then decide, okay, let's look for that tier three. I think that would be my lesson takeaway.
I love it. That's good. You learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody listening, you know, you guys, you're like, man, $100,000. I can't even imagine losing that kind of money. Well, you know, you're just going to have to raise your capacity up, because if you're an investor, if you're in business and you really want to play the game at a bigger level, you know, you want to be a millionaire and all that, you're probably going to have to go through something like that.
That's true.
I'm here to help educate so we can try to minimize these things and we could try to, you know, try to prevent them. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to look at different deals and you're going to say, this looks amazing. And it checks all the boxes. And then it just, something doesn't work out. That's part of the game. I mean, who could predict what happened to you?
Yeah.
So I know we're about out of time. I could go on for quite some time. This is a lot of layers to unpack here. Mm-hmm. What's something that the number one thing that I should have asked you that I didn't? You know, is there anything that you really want to, you know, you're passionate about that you want to speak on?
Yeah, man. All I would say as an encouragement to your audience is be intentional with your education. I mean, that I've been convinced, I've held on to that same thing. I know I mentioned earlier, but if you can outthink them, you don't have to outwork them, right? And the flip side of that is you have to outwork them if you can't outthink them. And so I've just been so intentional, which has helped me so much of, you know, I've got 4 books sitting right in front of me. The next 4 books I'm going to tackle all about tax, the tax code. And it's not like the tax code was super exciting to me, but I'm realizing we're all playing the tax game. So I need to understand it. And so I think for so long, I just kind of trusted other people to tell me what to do with money. And I didn't take charge of my own education there. And so, you know, the passion for me is helping people understand that we don't know enough about money. And because of that, we're paying a dumb tax, right? We're paying more money than we should, or we're not making the money that we should off of, you know, an investment or whatever, because we're paying a dumb tax. And so go out and get yourself educated. If you can outthink people, you don't have to outwork them. And that's how you get your time back. Man, so I would just encourage them, keep listening to this podcast, whatever resources you have, brother. I mean, man, just go learn, get educated. That is the key to anything.
I love it. So how do people get a hold of you? You know, like they want to follow you, or you got a book, I think you said you wrote. Well, how do they get
it? Working on the book. Yeah. Working, I mean, so our website is our website, which is a coaching and training for real estate agents, is faithfulagent.com. They can go to faithfulagents.com/course and get an e-course, which walks them through how I set up my lead generation to get out of production. So if they want that, use promo code podcast, they get a discount. And then the Faithful Agent Podcast YouTube channel has a video I made on there on how I'm getting a $50,000 renovation for free. And it's like a mindset, money mindset piece that might be a helpful video for them. So go check that out. But yeah, I mean, you can email me Garrett@faithfulagent.com and I'd love to help in any way that I can. I'm on my own journey, but I'd love to help in any way I can.
That's fantastic. We didn't even get to really dive into this a whole lot, but you know, I didn't even know this when I invited you on. I think I'm just, the law of attraction is bringing me great.
Yeah. Yeah.
People, but you're Cleveland Indians, now the yes. Guardians fan.
Yeah.
How did that
happen?
Still
the Indians.
Yeah,
there's my dad grew up. Yeah, you're right. My dad grew up really close to Cleveland, and it's okay. just kind of been in our family for a long time. And man, I love it.
Are you raising your kids Indians fans?
Oh, absolutely, they're Indians fans. Yeah, that's yeah.
Good job.
That's the only way we get Indians fans. We don't attract new fans. We've got to raise them organically. Yeah.
Got to be bred, because
that's right.
Nobody that's stupid enough to become an Indian fan that's outside.
Right. That's 100%.
Too much heartache. Too much depression.
That is absolutely true.
Someday will be our moment.
Someday.
I don't know when that's happening.
That's what the bad teams say. Yeah. Right. That's right.
Thanks so much for being on, Garrett.
Yeah, absolutely,
man. I will definitely get this out to the audience. Guys, if you're listening and you got a lot of value out of this podcast, which I'm sure you did, make sure to share it and also go on and give us a 5-star review. Appreciate you guys listening. And we'll see you on the next episode. Here we go. That's a wrap for this episode on the Indestructible Wealth Podcast. If you'd like to dive deeper into your own wealth building strategy, check us out at myindestructiblewealth.com and follow along on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and yes, even TikTok. Send me your questions and your financial challenges, and I promise I'll respond. Also, I'll think you're really awesome if you'll share and leave me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, remember our mission here is to help you make, keep, and grow wealth you can enjoy now and for years to come.